You're listening to Trending with Timmery, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics. National speaker Timmery Millington has been a passionate advocate for life as long as she can remember, helping Gen X through Z answer the call to true feminism and authentic manhood. Timmery holds a master's degree in biblical theology, and she covers this week's hottest stories from a Catholic worldview. You're listening to Trending with Timmery.
Hello, hello, dear friends. I have in studio with me my dear friend, Diana Wiebe. It's so wonderful to have you in your many years of experience in radio. I feel like this is kind of a coming home for you to the radio studio.
Yeah, it feels good.
Well, Diana Wiebe has had over 8 years working within secular radio with iHeartRadio, hosting your own show, guest show, with other hosts as well for years.
Yes.
And you had a major conversion.
Yes.
Back into your Catholic faith, essentially.
Yes, amen.
And now you travel across the country as a speaker, speaking primarily to young people and young adults on modesty, on purity, and also on suffering as well.
Thank you for adding that one in there.
Yeah. And you know, you are embarking on this incredible journey. It's such a message of like, God has so many gifts that he throws into our lives over the years. And sometimes we don't understand, like, God, why are you allowing me to suffer here and now?
Yes.
Or why am I in this odd job that somehow feels unrelated to what I was hoping to work toward? And then years later, you realize everything comes together and here you are just launching your own Catholic radio network.
Yes.
Come Alive Radio.
Yes.
Just tell us a little bit about that journey.
So when I was in secular radio for the 8 years that I was there, I mean, you can imagine working my way up. I mean, I didn't have any radio experience. I didn't go to school for radio. I just worked and prayed very hard. Cradle Catholic, right? But wasn't necessarily living out my Catholic faith. Was working in a very secular environment, and it was really difficult to be Catholic, to be moral, to be really anything that looks like Christ in that sort of environment. And being the age, I was 21 when I got hired and put on the air in front of 600,000 people at any given moment. And I did not take that for granted. I was so excited to be there. And I worked through those 8 years. And I also grew in my faith in those 8 years. And I really believe God left me there for that very long amount of time, because as my faith grew, I started to become kind of strong. Right. And I was able to stand up for our Catholic faith on the air. And it got to a point where, you know, we'd play like a Drake song and I'd come out of a Drake record and I'd be like, all right, guys. So in the Gospel of Luke, it says, I mean, it was so awkward, but amazing, because people were hearing the gospel in a very secular place, and they couldn't fire me because my ratings were so high. And they were like, who is this Jesus girl? like, what is she doing?
It's such a testament to being called to use whatever platform you have, whatever work environment you're in, to find, okay, become strong-willed, sure, in terms of who you are, but become strong-willed in terms of not just your personality, but your faith.
Amen.
And let that shine forth in your strength, even when there's adversity, which you saw throughout your radio career.
Yes. I remember mornings where I would, I couldn't handle like some of the topics. I couldn't handle the persecution, the verbal persecution I was getting on the air from listeners or from my co-hosts. And the only thing I knew to do was to pray and then call my mom. And so I would leave the studio in the morning, middle of the morning show, when we would go on a commercial break, or and I would walk outside into the parking lot of the studio, and I would just bow there and like fall in the midst of this gross parking lot and just pray. And I would cry and I would pray, because I didn't understand why people were so against the goodness of Christ. And I was a young woman trying to express that in a place that didn't want to hear it. I was having a very hard time, and I would call my mom like, why is everyone so mean? And why don't I have tougher skin? And how do I build tougher skin? And it was just, it was exactly that. That's how I built the tougher skin, was getting off of the floor of the parking lot and going back in that studio and saying, okay, Jesus, you know, you take the wheel and you give me the words and send the Holy Spirit, and you have me here for a reason. Use me.
That's Diana Wiebe joining me here in studio. You're listening to Trending with Timmery. Coming up, we're going to be talking about single life and just the challenges, also the intentionality in so much of our pop culture to try to fill the space and mask the loneliness that so many single people are experiencing. We'll be talking about the contraception deception and just the lie that so many women have been told, that ultimately our career is what fulfills us. And we'll be really talking about the importance of how we can stand joyfully as women in the culture and be the antidote to our own brokenness and the brokenness of others, essentially. But Diana, I want to talk for a second about, you know, here you are, you're going through this massive conversion and you're seeing more and more challenges within your workplace. And I remember at one point you shared with me just how sick of talking about, for example, Kim Kardashian
were
at one point.
I can't.
And how finally, like, just with total truth, you said it on air, like, can we finish?
Yes. Can this be done?
Yeah. Can we just be done?
It was a few weeks. She was pregnant and they kept talking about her weight gain and how her ankles were swollen and her toes were swollen. And I mean, this is what was trending, right? Like, this is what's top of the tabloids. This is on every front cover of magazines. You see Kim Kardashian's toenails popping out of her shoes because she's pregnant and wearing these giant heels. And I just thought, if we talk about this stupid topic one more time, and I got to such a point where I was disgusted with the fact that we're talking about a woman's feet who's pregnant. Obviously her feet are swollen. Let's move on. You know, like, let's talk about anything else. And I got so tired of it that I took my headphone set out of our studio sound system and I plugged it into my laptop and I started watching a documentary on how to harvest organic cherries. That's how bored I was. And I didn't even care that we were on air and they caught me because I wasn't talking.
They're like waving at you.
Diana, hello, we're talking to you. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you guys. What'd you say? And they were like, oh, we were talking about this Kim Kardashian toe thing again. And I just thought, well, I was watching a documentary on organic cherries because I just can't talk about Kim Kardashian's feet anymore. I can't do it. And our ratings would go up because they never knew what I was going to say or what I was doing. And I was just like the oddball in the studio.
But you know what? I feel like this is such a testament in a sense to our culture. Like, here you are in live radio checking out of an empty, meaningless, gossip-oriented, critical of a woman's appearance, a poor woman's pregnant. I mean, in a sense, it's great that they're talking about a pregnant woman, but at the same time, it's like, just leave her be. And I think that stands true, like, in our culture, when we talk to what is true, when we show that we're actually disinterested in what is harmful, with what is not important.
Yes.
Sometimes we actually do stand out because we're just being honest with ourselves and others. And your ratings show that while on air.
Yes, yes.
But here, it's not just in a public profile that happens in friendships. The same thing happens. People are more attracted to the honesty and the realness.
Yes. I forget which saint says it, but there's a saint that says, like, if you're in a conversation and someone starts to gossip, either change the subject or walk away. Mm-hmm. Don't ever add to it. And that's kind of the point. And I knew I was growing in my Catholic faith because I got to a point where these gossip stories were no longer an interest to me and they actually became disgusting. Even making fun of celebrities for the dumb decisions they make was disgusting to me because I thought, well, how many times have you committed a sin and it just wasn't broadcasted in every mag? You know what I'm saying? It's not in every magazine or tabloid, but we sit here and make fun of celebrities all day long and we get paid to do it. That's horrible. Like, I'm going to answer for this at some point and Jesus is going to ask me, you know, that was my son. And yeah, he was messing up, but, you know, why did you feel the need to continue to badger him and make his pain even worse than it already was?
And expose it to the world.
Yeah. I started to feel compassion for things that people were like, this girl's crazy. Like, this is what we get paid to do. This is how we get ratings. And I was like, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. Mm-hmm. This is part of a death culture. This is sinful. I don't want to do this.
It's a testament for each of us that sometimes the environment that we are in is a detriment for our soul and is leading others into a place where they should not be.
Yes.
And I think that that's sometimes the responsibility of having such a public profile as you had and have had, that we're responsible for speaking what is true. And so it's really interesting, kind of tying into this in a different way. You're listening to Trending with Timmy. That's Diana Wiebe here in studio. So I was talking to my sister the other day, and she was telling me about how in her history class, U.S. history class in high school, the teacher essentially asked why contraception is good. Now, I think he has no right to ask that to a bunch of high school students. But basically, in doing this kind of poll within the class, four key things come up. And these are from the mouths of the students in high school. They are able to stay at work, get enough money, be more mature to have children, and prevent teenage pregnancy.
Wow.
And I was just so shocked. Like, were there any, you know, I like how the conversation is posed. What is contraception, why is it good, essentially? Right, even like, is it necessary? Do all women need it? Like, any question like that. And it's so heartbreaking because this is the lie, and I think at the heart of the feminist movement, that our bodies have to be manipulatively changed in order to conform with what society has in mind for us.
Correct.
Hence the problems with the way women struggle with their appearance, with their competitiveness, kind of leveling each other up and comparing.
Right.
When you hear that, especially for college age or even high school students, what is your initial reaction for these young women?
It's always said that the devil can't come up with anything new, right? So he just kind of repeats the same sinful tactics over and over again and tempts us in the same ways. And this is no different, right? I mean, there was a movement like this before our time, and we just get duped several times over. And I feel like as older women, as women who are young adults, or even as our grandparents or our parents' age, I feel like that responsibility biblically falls on us to speak truth to these young girls and explain to them that these are words that are being used to manipulate your mind, and they're being told to you as something good. But truthfully, what's actually good for you is to be authentically a woman and to be dignified and to save yourself for marriage and really to want love and not lust and to really chase after that which is true love. And then women go, wow, that's what I actually want. And then they see the light. But before that, it's like, oh, yeah, everything's okay because everyone says it's okay. But who's the voice of truth in those young women's lives? Who's telling them, excuse me, that's actually a lie, you know, and who's waking them up to that truth? My mom was that voice for me in high school, in middle school. I mean, in middle school, they showed us all kinds of videos that were lies, and that's incredible and it's important. So I want to encourage those women to stand on that truth and to speak it.
Well, and to be willing as women to talk to our friends. I mean, there's not a single mom who isn't facing the challenge of considering, in many ways, using hormonal contraception unless you have that foundation.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Timory will be right back. Tweet them at Timory. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You're listening to Trending with Timory, where morality and culture meet, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
Hello, everyone. I am live in studio with my dear friend Diana Wiebe, who has a background of over 8 years in secular radio, iHeartRadio, and is now working in evangelization on modesty, talking about suffering, purity, especially to young people today. So we are talking about really the deception that so many young people face in our culture, having to do with the fact that contraception is what is necessary to have a career, to be able to work, to even be mature enough to have a child, or kind of be financially comfortable with where you want to be in life. In reality, it's leading into this attitude that so many people are being taught that their career is what fulfills them. Now, what would you say? Because you lived in secular media. I mean, you had an incredible opportunity. Mm. Yet was your heart totally satisfied during that time?
I just gave a talk in the Diocese of Biloxi about this. And I asked the students if they thought that I was fulfilled, you know, hanging out with celebrities all day and being famous and getting free stuff all the time. And these high school kids said, no, you weren't fulfilled. And I said, why wasn't I fulfilled? And they said, because Jesus fulfills us. But when you were in secular media, you were focused on fame and fortune and success and all these things. And so you were missing stuff and you were hurting. And I was like, wow, out of the mouth of babes, huh?
Yeah.
They get it.
They're able to put two and two together when you begin to present the case of like, here's what is true. Here's what is good. This is ultimately what kind of appeals to the ache in our heart. I had Patrick Reedy on the radio show last week. And if you didn't hear the episode, he was an incredible, incredible guest. And we're talking about specifically the hearts of men and how men have this burning desire, this fire within them that is being searching in a way to be lived out. Mm-hmm. And he talked about how ultimately men are called to destroy what is evil in the world and build up what is good.
Amen.
And, you know, we can see in boys, they're always from a young age, either breaking something or making something. And that's ultimately supposed to be a part of the battle of good and evil. Mm-hmm. And for us women, you know, we too have an ache within us, and that ache is ultimately for God. Mm-hmm. Yet we are being told that so many other things are meant to fulfill that. And what's heartbreaking is that contraception mentality is what is kind of masking that and sometimes attracting people on a health level to say, this is what is necessary to be a functioning woman mm-hmm. in society. So when we talk about this, you know, here's the major kind of turning point that we're seeing, I think, for a second here in our culture. I think that the release of the movie Unplanned is really going to wake up a lot of people. I mean, yes. 2 weeks in a row, it was in the top 10. The first week, I think it was like number 4 or 5. I'm forgetting off the top of my head right now. But it just had its third weekend in the box offices. And they ended up adding like another 600 screens on the second weekend. But here's what's interesting. It's a wave that is continuing to run. The third week, it was number 11 in the box office.
Wow.
Which is huge considering that it had like a fourth or a fifth of the number of movie theaters that other movies have
had.
That's
what I was going to say. It was only in the fraction of theaters that the other movies were in.
Yeah.
Yeah, amen.
Did you get to see the movie?
I did.
Yeah. What were your thoughts?
I was horrified, in tears. And my very first thought after leaving the theater was, I don't understand how every single doctor, and I put that in quotes, that works for these facilities has not been jailed, and how this corporation has not been, literally how our officers have not gone in, our American officers have not gone into these facilities and jailed these people. I don't understand how murder is occurring and no one's doing anything about it. Those were my actual truthful first thoughts leaving the theater, is we have mass murderers in our country who are making money off of our women and slaughtering our babies, and no one is stopping them.
I think that that's a testament, even you being within the pro-life Catholic community, to have that perspective and kind of like, again, that reawakening.
Yes.
That's what's kind of sweeping the nation right now for the people who are seeing this movie Unplanned, despite being given a rated R, rating, which is preventing people. I think in many ways, almost attracting more people.
I do
because
too.
Abortion's violent.
Right. It absolutely is violent.
Abortion is violent.
Yes.
But people are coming out in droves to see this movie.
Yeah.
And as hard as it is, they're recognizing this is true. And what's incredible, Abby Johnson, whose story this is, now runs a organization called And Then There Were None, reaching out to people who are working within the abortion industry. And just since the movie's released 3 weeks ago, they've had nearly 100 abortion clinic workers say, "We want out."
Amen.
But isn't this a testament of your own story in a way? You were, of course, you weren't working with an abortion clinic or anything, but your heart was convicted to see what is good and what was not good.
Yes.
And there's a point in your life where there are certain things that we have to radically walk away from, essentially.
Yes, absolutely. There's a scene in the movie that I was telling Timory off mic that I resonated with so much, when the heads of that corporation of Planned Parenthood pulled Abby Johnson aside and started accusing her of things that she never did. There's a very dark side to large corporations, and they have certain assets they want to protect. And I've lived some of that, and I understand a lot of that. But much like Abby, I chose to follow the call of Christ and to speak the truth regardless of that fear and regardless of trying to be subdued. And again,
the lies.
They are lies. Absolutely, they're lies. And I
remember you said specifically that you were called into a meeting just like Abby was, when she did not follow what her superior specifically had to say, and did not follow a direct order that seemed contrary, essentially, to what was good within the medical realm.
Yes.
Abby challenged, essentially, the heads of Planned Parenthood, saying, "Okay, you're saying that we need to increase our abortion numbers and have a quota." She was basically seeing that we were being called to herd women in.
Right.
To almost pressure them to have abortions.
Correct.
And so when she said, "Well, hold on a second, I thought we were here to reduce abortions," she gets pulled into, if you haven't seen the movie, this board meeting, essentially, to be reprimanded. And you're talking about how you've essentially had the same exact thing happen to you, and how people within those meetings lie to twist the truth for what is evil, essentially.
Yes. And what benefits their bottom line, and which is not truth. It is no basis in truth. The thing that I really took from when I saw Unplanned, and the comparison, like you were saying, between a life in secular media and having to choose truth over lies, and the same thing for those who work in Planned Parenthood, having to choose truth over lies. It may cost you your job, your current job. It may cost you some friends and some family members, and I put those people in quotations, because when you search for truth and when you're living for truth, God is going to send you those who also walk in that same truth. So you may lose a couple of so-called friends, but you're also going to make some real lifelong bonds with people who want to see you freed and healed and lifted up. And when I left secular radio on the basis of standing on the truth that we have a voice, and our voice matters, because when I go and spend time with kids in high schools and middle schools, and they're suicidal at the age of 12, I started to put it together that the things we say on the air have ramifications. the music we play has ramifications on a young woman deciding if she's going to have premarital sex or not. The words we speak to these women and to these young boys, they have ramifications. And I kept trying to get them to see that rather than spending time talking about which celebrity is sleeping with which celebrity and cheating on which celebrity, we should be spending time building up our young people and encouraging them. If we share those stories, we should be saying, but they shouldn't be doing that. Right. The end line of that story shouldn't be LOL laughter. These people are dumb. The end of that story should be, but there's a lesson to be learned here. You see, cheating is not of God. Right. And like adultery is not of God. We should actually be striving for holiness. And I'm going to pray for that celebrity. And I pray for their conversion, that they would actually seek love.
And why are we wasting our time discussing this?
What a waste of time.
I think that that's the attitude. And, you know, I think there's something I was really blessed with, I have to say, in high school. Like, there was just this innate understanding in me that things such as gossip magazines and the tabloids you'd see at the grocery store checkout were inherently wrong. Like, it would break my heart to see a photo of someone being made fun of for the whatever, you know, was on their face or the way they were standing or the role they may or may not have, or to hear the brokenness of another marriage and another family, and the pain that was being caused by that. And I think that was a gift. Like, inherently we know it's wrong. Yet we end up wasting so much of our time talking about what is so meaningless, whereas in reality, good conversation talks about ideas. And so people challenge me like, hey, Timmy, like, you have a show called Trending. How do you not know about X, Y, and Z's relationship? And I'm like, send me stuff if it's great content to talk about or there's really something to learn from. But if it's not, what's trending is behavior, and we want to impact behavior, not talk about gossip, essentially.
Yes, absolutely. Impacting behavior. That's so good. That's what essentially I was doing when I left iHeartMedia, was trying to impact behavior. One of my last words to my boss at the time was, you know, if me leaving working here proves nothing except for this one point, then I've done my job. And I'm going to leave on the basis that I told you the truth. You're denying the truth and you're lying to me about the truth. So if I leave, then you have to know that what I spoke was the truth. If I was willing to give up my career over it, because I have dignity and morals, and that comes before this paycheck, that comes before you buying my morale. I can't. And I think it's a dangerous thing when a person can't be bought. Right. Mm-hmm. I think people fear that, like, well, we can't buy her. What do we do with her now? Right. And it's this idea that, I can't be bought. The only thing that can buy me is the truth. So bring the truth or spare me your lies. I don't want to live like that.
And to bring a little bit of context to your story, because I know we didn't get into the fullness of it, toward the end, you were really able to evangelize in many ways on air. You had a great contract, great ratings, and so you were kind of untouchable in a sense. And you had these colleagues who did not like what you had to say.
No.
And one colleague in particular who wanted you gone.
Yes.
And isn't that something that all of us can testify into, in a sense, whether it's a boss who disagrees with our worldview or doesn't like the way we interact or is jealous because there's certain preference within the workforce. We've all experienced this.
Yes.
And there's a point where we have to say, yes, we can evangelize, but there's a point where there's too much harm that's done to who we are.
Yes.
And we need to make a transition away from that for the good of our own soul.
Yes. Yes. Amen. And I left there knowing that God was going to use me to serve him in the new evangelization. You know, I didn't leave there going, oh man, I don't have a job and what am I going to do? I left there knowing God is going to do something with me. I don't know what it is, but I'm trusting in the Holy Spirit and I'm going to leave a place of fear and move into a place of faith in my life.
Coming up, we'll be talking about the single life and how we can better live this and step away from the mask and the band-aid we try to put over that pain and struggle in our culture.
Timmery will be right back. Tweet them at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You're listening to Trending with Timmery.
Diana Wiebe is in studio with me today. It's wonderful to have someone who has so much experience in the radio industry, made having a major conversion and ultimately leaving for year after years of having worked with iHeartRadio. And here we are, we're facing a culture where so many women look toward their fulfillment as their career, look at contraception as necessary for what gets them ahead in life. And then here we are. I was reading this quote the other day from Sue Ellen Browder, and she worked for years at Cosmo. And she was a writer for Cosmo who was taught essentially that we create the Cosmo Girl. And she talked about how there were two things that the stories of the Cosmo Girl could not be. The Cosmo Girl could not be a virgin, and she could not be a mother.
God bless America.
But she could create any story in Cosmo magazine, creating this wonderful lifestyle, but they were all made up stories. The sources were made up. They were taught how to falsify, essentially, a source. And she talks about how essentially, and quoting her, the Cosmo Girl was a front that the single lonely girl puts on to make her feel like she was wanted essentially at the end of the day by a man. And so everything that Cosmo has taught over the years, again, was that band-aid for loneliness. And here we are generations later, essentially almost two to three generations later of having read Cosmo Girl. And even within our own Catholic community, there is this heartbreak over prolonged single life years. What do you, like, when you see this, does it not make sense that this attitude of having that fast-paced career, traveling a lot, being able to purchase whatever we want, having those fun relationships, that's the lie that we put on to make people think that we are happy in many ways?
Yes, yes. And seek approval.
Yeah, and seek approval. It's so true. And, you know, it's so interesting because I think...
Likes.
Likes, right? I think about different movies. Like, think of some of your favorite more chick flick movies growing up. Name a couple.
Like Mean Girls, like Legally Blonde,
Devil Wears Prada, Clueless.
Oh my gosh, Clueless.
In a lot of the movies, especially as we get into the, let's say, late 90s, early 2000s, you always had that career-oriented single woman who was in the back seat of a car being driven around with a driver, traveling a lot, constantly on her phone, living this fast-paced life. And it looked fun. It looked exciting. And it's so interesting to me because people will look at me and the work that I'm doing right now. In evangelization, it's an apostle. It's not a job. It's not a career. And people be like, man, you got like such an awesome career. You're traveling for your work and so forth. I'm like, that's not what it's about. It's about the message that young people are hearing.
Yes.
And the conversion of heart that people are coming to. And I should not be doing any of it if I am not putting my faith and now my marriage first, essentially.
Amen. Yes.
And yet people think, oh, the career is what is so great about who you are. But it's losing sight for all of us women.
Yes. Amen. A couple months ago, I started to, I just felt this call to stop wearing makeup as often. I still wear it every now and then. And I did that. And I think the Lord was calling me to this specifically because I read at my parish. And as you know, I'm a Catholic speaker like you are. We travel and we evangelize. And a lot of times that attention can become people who want to follow me. And I thought, well, if I make myself look a little less glamorous, they might want to follow the more interesting person in the story, who is Jesus, right? Because as women, like you said, this Cosmo Girl idea, we grow up going, well, the prettiest girl is the one we should follow. The skinniest girl, the one who has her life together, in quotations, right? And we want to follow that girl and in hopes that we can become that girl. Right. So we kind of build up these idols by following these women around. And so I started doing this a few months ago and I don't do it all the time anymore because I have received the lesson. But this was for me. And so I started to travel and I wasn't wearing makeup and I really started. People thought I was a nun because I was, you know, really like dressing very like plainly and simply. And I was like, no, I'm not a nun. I'm working on the inside. My heart needs some work. And I don't ever want anyone to make an idol of me or this ministry. I want people to see Christ.
Or to make an idol of yourself.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And to start to look at myself as something that I'm not. Because I'm speaking about Jesus and coming from secular radio, that's what it is. It's you, you, you. They put your face on a car. They put your face on a billboard. They build you up and they build up your esteem. So you start to feel good about yourself and everything becomes about the self. Everything comes about, oh, well, they can buy us because they think, well, if our personalities feel like celebrities, then if we threaten to take their celebrity away, they'll do whatever we want. And I got to a point with Christ that nothing could buy me. I just wanted the cross. And then that's why you said I talk about suffering. I just wanted the cross and I just wanted Jesus. And so nothing could buy my time or my morale.
And I think that that's where we go for women. So here is, you know, we hear that the fast pace, the money, yes, the career, you know, the progression in our career is what makes us happy. But ultimately, as women, to desire the cross,
yeah,
to desire union with God in that sense is, yeah, essentially to live at our vocation as women, to desire, to nurture, and to love, and to sacrifice, you know. Amen. And I think that this is where a lot of people have objections in our culture that, well, that sounds pretty lame. That sounds boring. Mm-hmm. That sounds like you're trying to turn yourself into a doormat. But what we're calling people to is a joy, like, yes, authentic joy, yeah, in who you are, that, yes, I do not need anything additional, career, money, whatever it might be, to be happy, that all of that could be taken away.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it would be hard, but, yes, you could not destroy my worth.
Yes.
My joy, my dignity is, mm-hmm, still intact.
Yes.
And that only comes from the sacrifice of the cross and recognizing it yourself as a child of the beloved Father.
Yes. And Christ himself, so dignified, you know, never in the even the walking up to Calvary, or even dealing with Pilate, or dealing with answering Herod, right before his passion, you never see his dignity fall from him. He's constantly dignified in his response, or his lack of response, because he knows their hearts. There was always dignity with Christ. And even when they tried to strip him of that dignity, when they removed his clothes and put him on the cross for crucifixion, Never once do we hear of Christ losing his dignity. Dignity of the human person is so, so important to Jesus. And it took me years to change, and God really to heal the portions of my mind that were that Cosmo girl, right? Because we grew up in that generation that was constantly feeding us that teen bop and those magazines and look like this and dress like this and change yourself. And those changes were not fruitful changes. They were destructive changes.
That's Diana Wiebe. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray. What we're ultimately talking about is that who you are is the end value.
Yeah.
Not, you know, your career, what you become. Who you are is the end value. Even if you're wretched in your sin, it's not your sin that is who you are. It's you. There's ultimately value there. And I like to kind of almost look at it as this acronym. You know, we're called to joy.
Yeah.
Don't let anyone destroy our peace. But, like, yes, let's think about joy. Like, let the J stand for joy.
Yeah.
Let the O for us women stand for openness, mm-hmm, to others. Let, yeah, us be open to receiving what God has in store for us. But just that unwavering love,
yeah,
that we, you know, as women, we long so deeply to be loved.
We do.
And truly, that's the only place we have that unconditional love.
Yes.
No relationship should ultimately, not even your spouse,
no,
you know, not even your parent should, right, ultimately, right, be that happiness that says, oh, okay, this is what makes me happy. No,
right,
the openness to God's relationship. And then I would say the why is finding a way to keep our youthfulness. It's in that, like, childlike submission.
Yeah.
That we are able to remain in a proper perspective of God as creator, us as creatures.
Amen. Yes. And no one can fill that position. Even if you put that expectation on them, if you've fallen into that, trying to receive that type of love from a spouse or from a parent or from any type of relationship or friendship, like, people will fail you consistently and you will fail them consistently, no matter how hard you try to be that perfect, you know, whoever, spouse, friend, parent. And, like, the sooner we realize that, oh my goodness, it's like the heavens and the joy from heaven opens up to us to say, wow, you can stop putting pressure on the people around you and yourself to be perfect because the beloved is perfect. And then the scriptures, it says that we are righteous through Christ. And that means that God's righteousness in Christ lives in us. But it's not that we are righteous in and of ourselves or perfect in and of ourselves. It's his perfection that lives and dwells within us. And it's like, my God, when you can let go and really let go, people say, oh, let go, let God. Well, actually letting go and letting God, it's the most beautiful, freeing, healing experience. Oh my gosh, if you're listening to this, do it today. Do it today. Open your heart and say, man, I want to stop trying to control this and make someone to be someone they're not, or make myself to be someone I'm not, and really give God the reins to your heart really, truly, and say, yeah, like, I want to repent for the ways that I've acted before, but I want to be new in Christ.
And we can't have that unless we understand that we are loved. And,
yes,
then from there, with that freedom, we can do what we desire. So long, and that is to do good.
Yes.
And I think that so many people who are championing, for example, in the movie Unplanned, you know, the feminist pro-abortion, pro-contraception, pro the manipulation of the woman's body to be, yeah, something other than it is, they think that they are doing good.
Yes.
But they do not know what is true.
Right. Amen. there were a couple scenes in the movie and they were like, well, we're doing the best we can. We're trying to help women. And there's, you know, all of this emergency type circumstances. And I'm like, the only emergency here is the dignity and life of this woman. There was no other emergency circumstance. Most of these women were not in emergency pregnancies. Most of these women were actually completely healthy, completely fine. It was that they were not loved. The guy was not around, right? He took off. The parents didn't want to be embarrassed. There was a lack of love in the circumstance.
You know, it's so heartbreaking because this weekend when I was standing in front of Planned Parenthood, standing out there, no one's praying in front of the abortion clinic yet again. You know, I'm just going, okay, Lord, I'm going to stop, pray my rosary 15 minutes. I'm in the area. And I stop and I saw within the course of like 15 to 20 minutes, at least between 6 and 9 couples walk in. And it was more of an affluent area where I was this day, college age-ish, a little older. And it's like the man was just ushering her in. And it made me so angry.
Yes.
At those men.
Yes.
But a heartbroken, because I usually pray at an abortion clinic that is a little more of an impoverished area. So it's usually just the women showing up. But woman after woman is coming in. And as they see me there and I blatantly have my rosary and I smile and say hello, they can't even look me in the face.
No, they can't.
That
no.
Just this heartbrokenness that these women have. They are not understanding that they're loved and they're not able to pursue what is good in the world because their dignity is not recognized
Correct.
By other people.
Correct.
Timory will be right back. Tweet them at Timory. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You're listening to Trending with Timory, where morality and culture meet, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
I'm really looking forward to sharing this story with you in just a second. But before that, if you're just joining us, Diana Wiebe's here in studio with me. Please go check out our website, radiotrending.com. You can learn more about today's guest. And a shout out coming up later on in the week. I'm really excited. I'm going to have Dr. Carrie Gress in the show talking about her new book on toxic femininity.
Oh, good.
And her work is just incredible and really getting to the antidote of living as Our Lady did. And I know so many people kind of look at Our Lady and they're like, I do not identify with her. Like, I respect her. I know she is the mother of God. I pray to her. I pray my rosary, but I can't find it. And Dr. Gress really breaks down how we can live that and how Our Lady is the exact opposite of what we're seeing in the culture. Like, today we have the anti-Mary attitude.
Yeah.
And her attributes, her virtues are so far-fetched from what we are willing to live.
Yeah, amen.
So Diana Wiebe's here. And Diana, there is a story. I had a client come into the Pilates studio a couple weeks ago. And she was sharing with me how her daughter has become a completely transformed person that she doesn't recognize. She had her daughter is no longer working late night shifts that she has been for years. And her daughter's completely stopped working. And I said, oh, like, has she gotten married? She said, no, she's moved in with her boyfriend. And she is so happy. For the first time in her life, I'm seeing her cooking, taking care of him, packing him lunches. She even went out of town for a week to visit friends and family. And she actually meal prepped the whole week to make sure that he had food in the house. And she said, I do not even recognize my daughter. And I just looked at her and I said, do they have any plans of getting married? And she said, oh no, he wants to get married, but she's terrified of marriage. She's not ready.
Wow.
And it was so heartbreaking because I'm seeing that this girl is legitimately finding happiness in sacrificing and loving and caring and nurturing someone else after all these years.
Yes, yes.
But is terrified of having a commitment made to her and a commitment made to someone else that will have that level of attachment and mutual agreement and respect.
Yeah.
That is so important in marriage.
Yes.
What are your thoughts like hearing that? Do you see this? Is something common?
Yeah, I do. I see this all the time, actually. You know, I mean, we travel and we do ministry and we evangelize. And so you meet all types of people that are in all types of circumstances. And a lot of times before we can even bring them the manual of like, this is why marriage is good and this is why marriage is fruitful, There's so much healing that has to take place in that individual's mind and that individual's soul. I don't know what she's seen in her life that has made her be afraid of something that's meant to be good, capital G, good. And so it honestly, my heart just kind of aches for her, because if I was doing an event, and I would imagine that someone like her would come up to me after the event and I would get to sit with her one-on-one, and I would look into her eyes and there would be this beautiful exchange of conversation. And I'm sure that this would come out of her mouth, that I'm living with a guy and I really care for him. And I don't know why I'm scared. And I also don't know why I'm telling you this, but I guess I want help. And I guess I'd begin to ask the questions, you know, the ones that matter, like what is going on? What has been going on? And where can I be of help? Where can prayer come into the picture? Because a lot of times people are broken in ways they may not know. And so they're afraid of things that are good, where they shouldn't be. My old spiritual director told me the story. He said that he used to have this dream that there was a man who was in so much sin, and that one day he met Jesus face to face. And as he met Jesus face to face, he was on this cliff, and Jesus was walking towards him in all of his splendor and all of his love and all of his glory. And as Jesus is walking towards this sinful man, the man has two options. He can either run up to Jesus and embrace him, or he can keep walking backwards out of fear, because he can feel the goodness and love of God, but didn't feel worthy of goodness, didn't feel worthy of love. And so he kept walking backwards, and soon he was at the edge of the cliff. And he said, and I woke up from this dream / vision that I keep having, because I think a lot of people are walking closer and closer to the cliff because they're so afraid of God's mercy and they don't think they're worthy of it. But truly, he is good and he is love. And he desires mercy and healing for you. And so if you're in that situation, I pray that you receive that. You know, he didn't come here and die for our sins and bleed every piece and drop of blood that he could for us for nothing, right? He desires that you would be loved and be in a loving marriage, and that you would learn to sacrifice in the way that he called you to in your marriage. And it's ultimately what's best for you, truly. Mm-hmm. It's ultimately where you belong, and it's ultimately where grace will flow. Marriage comes with its own set of graces, and I guarantee you're going to want them. So.
Yeah. But isn't there such a, that's Diana Wiebe speaking. You're listening to Trending with Timory. Isn't that such a testament though in her story that the mom was saying, I do not recognize my daughter. She's so happy. And I think what's so ironic is that she's essentially living as a housewife.
Right. She is.
But she,
unmarried. She's playing roles.
She's playing the role.
Yeah.
And yet that's the exact opposite of what our culture says. You will not be happy and fulfilled being a mom,
right?
Caring for someone else,
right?
Your career, your mind is wasted and so forth. But it's so not true. There's joy in choosing to love and serve someone else, even if they've kind of gotten the mark wrong.
Yeah.
It was just astounding to me to hear that all of a sudden this young woman is cooking and doing things she'd never done before.
Yes.
But at the same time, isn't it a testament for so many women who say, like, I don't think I could be a wife. I don't think I could be a mom. Like, when you are called there, if you are willing, even if it's hard, it will transform your life.
Yeah. Right? And grace will meet you where you are.
Yeah. Grace will meet you. And I think it's a testament. One of the things my mom always says, I never even thought about like having kids. They never prevented or tried not to have children. But she'll say having children was the greatest thing, one of the greatest things ever happened to me.
Yeah.
You know, it changed your life.
That's beautiful. Self-sacrificial love is what we're made for.
So what do you see as the antidote for like everything that's going on? We see the contraception deception. We see like this false idea that their career is what fulfills us.
Yeah.
We have, you know, we see people shacking up and some people so joyful to be at least have that companionship of someone else. What's the antidote?
Yeah. When you have all of that stuff or even a fraction of that stuff, when you're in the midst of the busiest, you know, you got your travel schedule, you got all the things, you got the purse you wanted, you got the heels you wanted, the outfit you wanted, and you look how you want to look, and you have all the things, and the key word here is you, right? It's always I focus. There's really not a outward focus. It's always an inward focus when you are searching after these worldly things. I want you to stop in the midst of it and just be honest with yourself. Just ask yourself, am I joyous? Do I have peace? I can guarantee you your answer is going to be no and no. That's what I had to do. I had to sit and ask myself, if I'm following peace, is this where I'd be? And the answer was no. There's no peace here.
Mm.
There's no peace. My heart is racing constantly. We're hopped up on energy drinks and coffee just to get through the first 3 hours of the day. Lord have mercy, right? I mean, that's all I ever see people talking about, where they're guzzling down so much coffee just so they can get through their first 3 hours. And I'm like, did y'all even take a minute to pray this morning? Like, what? You've already managed three cups of coffee, but did you manage any prayer time? Like, what? Where is peace relevant in your life? Like, are you actively seeking peace?
I would even say reigning in your life. Like, here we are in the midst of Holy Week. We just lived Palm Sunday.
Yeah.
And I think the greatest theme we can take into this week, and of course, you guys, get to Mass. Live the Triduum this week.
Yes.
Go to Holy Thursday Mass. Go to Stations of the Cross.
Yes.
Take the time on Friday to attend the only day in the entire world there is not actual Mass. It's a communion service.
Yeah.
It's a veneration of the cross. There is no consecration of our Lord that has taken place. Our Lord has been killed. And in Saturday, find silence. Be still.
Yes.
We are waiting for our Lord.
Yes.
You know, take that time.
Yes.
This week, because God, just like the triumphant entry of our Lord into Jerusalem, and the, you know, they're calling out Hosanna, and they recognize him, recognizing him essentially as king. They want to king him.
Yes.
Let that peace that Diane is talking about reign in your heart.
You know, Holy Thursday, the washing of the feet, that Mass is my favorite. I mean, every year, I'm like, nobody messes this up for me. This is my favorite time of year. Holy Thursday is my favorite. It's like super long, and there's so much going on, and there's so many people. It's like the greatest opportunity to see the church in all of her splendor and glory, but also in all of her sinfulness. Like, you get to see the church. This is the weekend where everyone comes together, and you see people who are never there, and you see people who are always there, but there's this beautiful opportunity to see her, to see the church, to see who Christ even came for and died for and rose for.
Mm-hmm.
It's for his church.
And Good Friday would be nothing without Holy Thursday washing of the feet,
yes.
where Jesus gets down on the ground in a part of the body that was considered so dirty, given, you know, ancient Israel and the fact that so many of them are in like sandals or wearing no shoes. And he starts to wash their feet, and you know, Saint Peter looks at Jesus and goes, God forbid, you will not touch and wash my feet.
Yes.
And Jesus looks at him, if I do not serve you, essentially, all of this will be nothing. If you do not understand that service is at the heart of the gospel message, you will not understand why I die tomorrow.
Amen.
I'm excited. This week we're doing the Passover meal on Thursday, earlier in the evening before Mass. And it's so neat. We did it for the first time last year. And just the symbology of the different foods.
Oh, yes.
And the symbolism and how it brings out like all of salvation history in this one meal.
Aww.
Really awesome. I really recommend people to check it out. So Diana, where can people find you?
So my website is dianawehbe.org and my last name is spelled W-E-H-B-E. On Instagram, Diana Marie Wehbe, and Facebook, same thing.
Come Alive Radio, you're launching this new radio network. It's strictly digital, which is awesome for the millennial world. That's where we're at.
Yes, and that's who it's geared towards. So I'm calling it a transitional radio station. It's gonna be like a lots of worship music, 24/7 streaming of worship music, and then some really great Catholic Orthodox teaching in between the songs. Because like I said, coming from the background I come in secular mainstream media, I needed something to help me transition from that type of secular music that's really not virtue building at all, to get me to a place where I can actually hear the teachings of Christ and want to live them and apply them. So we're launching hopefully on Easter. I mean, hopefully it's going to happen. But God willing, it'll be this week or next week. And you can find us at Come Alive Radio.
So stay tuned. We'll be sending out links to that. Get ready. I'm speaking at Vox Vitae Camp this summer for young people. We'll have other people such as Father Frank Pavone, Dr. Jerry Nadal, Astrid Bennett. We'll also have Matt Walsh there talking about transgenderism, family, and the importance of living a faith-filled, virtuous, pro-family life.
This has been Trending with Timory. To learn more about Timory Millington, visit timory.com.